Good morning again, Anchor Church. As you may have just witnessed, I could not get the microphone working, and Mark and Caleb were able to help me, which dovetails quite nicely with how I want to introduce today's sermon. I think there is a sense of relief and a sense of joy and of freedom when you're confronted by a situation in which you have no ability to alter at all, and somebody steps in with confidence and authority and knowledge and is able to address that problem for you and fix it so you can move on with your life. Who we listen to in those moments matters. When we hear those voices speaking confidently and truthfully into our life, it is a source of great joy. Now, for those who know me a bit better, for a period of about 6-7 years, I ran security teams in nightclubs, what you might call a bouncer. And as a supervisor, I was confronted by a lot of different situations. One night in particular at a bit of a more wild nightclub, an English backpacker, a young lady, was dancing on a table, fell off and broke her leg quite severely. And I am not a doctor. But as supervisor, I was expected to do something. When out of the crowd stepped a Fijian lady, brandishing her lanyard from the hospital, saying, "Step aside, I work at the hospital, I've got this covered for you, I can handle this situation." I'm like, yes, I did not know what I was going to do with this situation. This lady tears a shirt off a guy and ties a splint around the leg. This English girl's in a lot of pain, and I'm like, this is getting to be resolved well, this is an awkward situation. The paramedics turn up, the ambulance, they walk in and they go, look at the leg, and they go, "Who's been working on this leg?" And I said, that lady, I'll call her Sherry, not her real name. Sherry over there has helped out. And I said, "We know Sherry, she works in the cafeteria at the hospital." I learnt a few lessons that night. Don't always assume people know what they're talking about when they claim they know what they're talking about. It's a wonderful thing when they do. It's a potentially disastrous thing when we listen to someone that we shouldn't. And this matters for us because today you and I, we, the people of God, live in an age where we are being absolutely saturated with people claiming to be the source of truth we need. And yet many of them are no more qualified to spiritually guide you than Sherry was to set a broken leg. Since Adam and Eve believed Satan's lies in the Garden of Eden, we, humanity, God's people, have struggled to get this right. Who do you listen to? And take a moment. Who do you listen to? Who speaks truth and authority in your life today? The consequences of that decision of who you listen to are profound. When they speak, you need to be clear. We need to understand, do they know what they are talking about, or are they just talking about something they know little about? Now, this is a problem that confronts the people of God. We are, as I've said, constantly bombarded with voices claiming different things. If you're so inclined, you can go shopping online for the right kind of advice to fit what you want to hear. But John the Baptist speaks to us today. He speaks to his followers and makes it clear that Jesus is the voice that has every drop of authority in creation. It is uniquely the voice of Jesus Christ that is equipped, qualified to help you with equip you fully for every good endeavor. It is his voice that has already called you, if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already called you out of spiritual darkness and into his glorious light. That light that is the light of life to all who believe. And it's his voice that is telling you that you are a loved and adored child of God, forgiven through his cross. It's his voice that you believe when he says, "I will lead you home and bring you into perfect rest, perfect freedom." But unfortunately, that's where we can sometimes stop listening to Christ. And it's not all he has to say to you. God has always ruled his people through his word. Today, the Bible. And he continues to speak to you. He continues to call you out of something and into something. He continues to remind us that his words are the firm foundation to build your life upon. Let me read Luke 6, 46 to 49. Christ talking to those saying, "We will follow you." And he says to them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it and immediately collapsed. And the destruction of that house was great." So Jesus is making the point to people who claim his name. It's not enough to hear his words as agreeable and right. You're called upon them to hear them as having real authority in your life, as genuinely having the power to guide your actions and your choices, not just to fit them in when it suits us. As I said, there are many voices in your world, just as there was in John's. Voices claiming divine knowledge who know not what they are talking about and who will cause you great harm if you let them. So in our passage today, John calls us back to recognizing once more that Christ is the voice who speaks with authority that heard in the Bible today. And that voice is the firm foundation of your life. The voice to listen to above all others. And there's 3 points I want to drag out of John's passage. John tells us why we should listen to Christ, the uniqueness of Christ, and the hope that we have in Christ when we listen to him. We're in John 3:31 to 36. I'll read, and then we'll pray. John says to his followers, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and yet no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has affirmed that God is true. For the one who God sent speaks God's word, since he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him." Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we reflect, Father, that in your word, Jesus is rarely referred to just as Jesus. It's usually Lord Jesus, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father and who has all things been handed to him. Lord, would we be people who hear and obey his word? Yes, we study in Galatians that we are saved through faith and not works, but Lord, you rule through your word and through your Spirit. You bring us to a place of conformity to your word and to your Son. So Father, would we today refresh our enthusiasm for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that yes, they are for your glory, but never forgetting that they are also for our joy. So Lord, through your Spirit, would your word do your work upon us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. John starts talking to his followers. The first reason you should listen to Jesus as the supreme authority in your life is that he alone comes from above. He alone has descended from heaven. He alone is above all today. The first couple verses. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who's from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. Right? Repeated. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and yet no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has affirmed that God is true. Straight off the bat, should not be much confusion about what John wants us to see. He's saying that only Jesus Christ, in the presence of this world, has experiences and understands and is the heavenly, the perfect, who rules in the place of flourishing that we long to be in, long to know about, long to experience for ourselves. And he says, listen to Christ, not your brothers and sisters who are guessing about things and trying to convey to you heavenly things through earthly terms, but come to Jesus Christ, who is uniquely qualified and able to speak to you about spiritual things. Buddha cannot. Muhammad cannot. Sigmund Freud cannot. They only speak to you of what they have experienced themselves. But Christ has experienced eternity. Christ created humanity. He speaks to you about things that we don't know. So why listen to anybody else? It's such an obvious point. Why do we go to other places as authoritative in our lives? Well, I would say from reading this week, that most people have four voices of authority speaking into your life. There are four voices that seek to claim authority amongst God's people. And they have a role to play in our life, but never in competition with the Word of God. Four things we need to understand are competing for your life. Number one, the voice of culture. Number two, the voice of tradition. Number three, the voice of reason. Number four, the voice of feelings. These are in competition with God's word. Number one, the voice of culture. The source of authority in my life is what everybody else is currently doing. When I see what the world is doing around me or what is working and big in some churches, that becomes normative and I conform myself to what the culture around me is doing. But Jesus says in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. There are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate and difficult the road that leads to life, and few find it. Culture can be deceptive. If culture is the authority in your life, you are seeking to enter into the presence of God through the wide door. God's word is authoritative in your life. Number two, the voice of tradition. What we have always done is what we will always do. We cannot change, it's just how it is. Paul writes in Colossians 2:8, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. So many have shipwrecked their faith because they would never challenge the traditions they inherited with the word of God. Generation upon generation, it says, taken captive because they abandoned the Bible, the words of Christ, as having authority in their life. The voice of Lord Jesus calls you to freedom. The voice of human traditions we see will call you back into captivity. Number three, the voice of reason, what is logical to me is what is right. I lean on my own understanding and I will decide for me what is right. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. None of us have the ability to comprehend spiritual things. We cannot rely on ourselves instead of Lord Jesus to understand the things that he created. And finally, feelings. If it feels right to me, it is right. Very much the spirit of our age. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? Who is better at lying to you than you? The word of God, it says in Timothy, divines the intentions of the heart and separates. It reveals you. When Christ says, store up treasure in heaven and not on earth, it reveals something in us. When he says, forgive 70 times 7 times, or take the plank out of your own eye before judging the splinter in your brother's eye, he's calling us into something new and he's speaking with authority into our life. The heart will always find ways to find a way around the words of Christ. Words given for God's glory and words given for your joy. But easily ignored if that is what our friends are doing, if that is what our history is, or if that is what we have decided is right for ourselves. John finishes his section with this. The one who has accepted his testimony has affirmed that God is true. Our lives declare what we believe to be true about Christ. When we reject his words as containing both authority and life within them, well, we're not saying that God is true. Faith accepts that Christ is the way. God the Father says of Christ at Christ's baptism, Matthew 17:5, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Sorry, that's at the Transfiguration. He says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now, of course, the question is, how do you listen to Christ today? He doesn't walk among us like he did in John's time. Point two. We're in verses 34, 35. The second reason why Jesus is the supreme voice of authority in life is his relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'll read. For the one whom God sent speaks God's word, since he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. So if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you'll be familiar that there are many prophets in the Old Testament. We have Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Micah. And the Holy Spirit would descend upon them in the measure according to their assignment from God. The rabbis of the time, rightly I believe, interpreted that the Holy Spirit was given for a purpose in adequate supply to do the work that a prophet was called upon to do in their culture. But not so with Christ, is saying John. John is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ received the Holy Spirit without measure. That is to say, Jesus received the Spirit without limit. Probably the deeper understanding of that passage is Jesus received the Holy Spirit without limit. Well, who's the Spirit? John 16:13. Lord Jesus reveals that the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, is the one who guides humanity into all truth. And so the one that guides humanity into all truth has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity, in his incarnation, in a uniquely abundant way. Now, Christ, remember, God is one being in three people, uniquely. We are one being, one person. God is the person of the Father, Son, and Spirit, one being, three persons. And that Jesus is uniquely 100% man and 100% God. Jesus becomes human by adding humanity to his godness, not shedding godness and replacing it with humanity. He is fully 100% God. He is fully 100% human. He never replaced or removed his godness. But as he ministered in this life, he didn't access all of his abilities as God. In his humanity, Jesus Christ did not know or access the knowledge he possessed as God about everything that would happen, for example. And he operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fully God, fully man, putting aside or not utilizing his attributes as God, and in his humanity receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And John is saying, unlike every prophet before him, Jesus had the completeness of the Holy Spirit who guides you into truth. Jesus uniquely had access to the fullness of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So not only is the one from above who can speak about heavenly things, he's also uniquely the one in the world who had the fullness of the Holy Spirit within him and speaking through him. And again, we have to ask ourselves, do you have anything like that in your life? Something that is both human and divine and filled with the Holy Spirit. Something that is uniquely qualified to speak with authority into your life. Something of completely human origin and something of completely divine origin. Doesn't look like much, does it? It's tattered. Yeah, there's pen marks on it. Christ and the Bible, uniquely in creation, fully of divine origin, fully of human origin, fully able to speak into your life with authority. Yes, it doesn't look like much, but we know Jesus didn't. Isaiah writes in 53:2 about Jesus, he didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. Feel your Bible. It contains in it the very weight of God's words, the fullness of them. Both 100% the work of humanity and 100% the work of the Holy Spirit. Peter writes in 2 Peter, above all, you know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Written, authored by human hands, but through the will of God under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you walk into Coorong today, if you were to leave here and drive direct to Coorong, you would find a great many books that speak wisdom and encouragement into your life. But only this one speaks with complete authority in your life. Only the Bible is perfectly without error and 100% sufficient to equip you for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:17. Beloved, to use John's language, don't be sidetracked from God's word by a publishing industry that has an interest in convincing you that you need to buy their product to understand God's word. You don't need journals with soaring eagles splattered across the cover. Splattered is probably the wrong word, but imaged across the cover. Or books covered with celebrity pastor endorsements. These can be good and useful, and I'm not against them. There have been many wonderful books recorded down the ages for us, but they are no replacement for God's divine words. You don't need to go on a pilgrimage to hear God's word. You don't need to work yourself into a kind of state to hear the words of God. In picking it up, you have all you need. You have the Holy Spirit guiding you into truth. Doing so through our efforts to study and think about the Word and meditating on Scripture. Through the Holy Spirit equipping teachers to provide the church to help you read and be shaped by God's Word. This is why we work through 1 Peter and why we are now working through Galatians on weeknights. And why we preach through books of the Bible instead of whatever pops into my head under the so-called inspiration of the Spirit. Because this is divine. And this is all we need. We need the Word of God in your hands as a church. We need the Word of God in your head. And as a church, brothers and sisters, for the sake of the body, you need to be reading from His Word daily for the simple life-giving joy of it. Because you need to be able to speak its truth into the lives of those you love. And you need to know if somebody can actually speak to you truth or if they're just wandered out from the cafeteria. As Peter says to Jesus in John 6, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words are only of eternal life if they come from Jesus Christ, if they come from His word. Now, if this is a battle for you, please come and see me. Let's buddy you up with someone. Let's get you along to the Galatians Bible study nights. Let's get the Word of God working in your life for God's glory and your joy. As it was opened with in 1 Peter, you had the fresh living water of God. Don't be consuming the mud of this world. This is where the nourishment is. And point three, John has one last point to make. That who we give authority to speak into it, your life matters. Every time we click on a TV, every time we read a journal, every time we purchase a book, we are somehow transferring or recognizing in that source an authority to speak into our lives. We need to be wise. He writes, John writes, 3:36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. As Peter just said, Christ has the words of eternal life. Jesus alone speaks to you the truth that will set you free from God's wrath. Jesus alone can say that he has come to set captives free. Jesus alone can say that he can die in your place for your sins. Jesus alone can say that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody else can say that to you. And if we reject the words of Jesus Christ, God's wrath remains. If we go to our culture for truth, the wrath of God remains. If we go to our traditions for truth, the wrath of God remains. If we go to our rational processes to come upon an understanding of what is truth, or if we go to our heart, the wrath of God remains. But when we listen and respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him we say, you, Father, you, Jesus, I say, have the words of life. You are completely reconciled to the Lord, seen as his beloved child, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, destined to be a display of his kindness for all eternity. Who you decide gets to speak with authority in your life matters. The faith that is built on God's word as the supreme authority in their life is a faith that lasts. But the faith that hears the Bible as just another voice amongst many comes crashing down. Luke 6. And we see the wreckage as we're going through our culture today, as men and women abandon this for culture or for their feelings as authoritative in their life. So John the Baptist, the greatest man who ever lived in history before Christ, wasn't, you know, Julius Caesar, or it wasn't any of those you might think, it was John the Baptist. He recognized that he had to become less, that he did not have the words of life that Christ had. He only had earthly words. You need to repent. You need to, here's the problem. Here's the reality of living in broken creation. But there's one who's coming. And he must become greater. His voice in your life must become greater. His baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will enable you to see that His words are true and will guide you to the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord. Scripture calls us, Father, to heed your voice. It helps us to see ourselves, Lord Christ, and we are not saved by works, but Father, you give us the joy of encountering you in your word, and you equip us for that joy with your Holy Spirit. Lord, when we come crashing down, when we go elsewhere, when we start drinking the muddy water and abandon the fresh living water of your word, would you in your grace encourage us, and so tenderly as you do, lead us back to that which is nourishing and good. Would those who love us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, get alongside us and encourage us gently to come back to your word. If we find it inaccessible, Lord, would we have the courage to ask others to read your word with them? And Father, would we understand that all of this is such a gift from your hand for your glory and our joy? That in your word is not punishment, but is liberty, freedom, the true life we crave. So Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be stirring up in us an enthusiasm to reach out and take hold of that which is joy. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.